Begin by reading the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I'm sure these words remind you of those words I quoted this morning from Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We celebrate many beginnings in human life. We celebrate the beginning of a marriage with an anniversary each year, the beginning of our own lives with a birthday, the building of a church or a building by marking the foundation stone. What about the beginning of everything? The beginning of the universe? The time when the stars first came into being and then brought forth the moon and the earth and eventually us? As I mentioned this morning, all the scientists, or almost all of them, say it did begin, so they agree with the Bible as far as that goes. The universe has not always existed, just as our lives have not always existed. Scientific books used to be written about the beginning of the universe. In fact, they still are written about it. Some decade ago, or 20 years ago, they talked about the first million years or so, they believed, of the universe's existence. Then, as the science progressed, they talk about the first 1,000 years. I read a book a few years ago called The First 3 Minutes. What was happening in the first 3 minutes from the beginning of the universe? By that time, the stars had not formed, so the scientists say. But now they're talking about what's happening in the first millionth of a second. But what before that? What before that? No space, no time, just nothing. Nothing except that which is everlasting, God Himself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not so much a craftsman, though he is a craftsman. Not so much a craftsman, though, making a model or a machine, like a mechanic might make a machine, using tools that are already there, using his hands. Rather, God's Word, coming right from the depth of his being, from his very heart, as again I said this morning, that Word spoke and called into being all that there is, in harmony with himself. And so the universe was created, not just made like a craftsman makes something, a table or a chair, but God created the universe. And his creating word, the power which brought it forth, came right from his very being. It was his mind, the mind of God himself, was expressing itself in beautiful harmony, like a conductor bringing forth music out of silence. And what God created was very beautiful and very majestic. And why did he do it? We read in the book of Revelation, it was for his pleasure all things were created. For his pleasure. That's why we exist. For his pleasure. And when we accept that fact, then it also becomes for our pleasure. But primarily for his pleasure. The Bible tells us that God is a God who desires to speak, to communicate. I don't find that surprising. Given that the universe did not create itself, it must have been created by someone, that is God. I don't find it surprising to think that the one who created it and gave birth to us, human beings, should, like us, want to communicate. I don't find that surprising at all. I find it perfectly reasonable to believe that. Let's think about it in human terms. A lonely person is a person who has no one to speak to. If you and I visit a lonely person, the best thing we can do is let him or her speak, express themselves, allow him or her to talk about what's on their heart. It brings a tremendous relief to them. When you and I visit a lonely person, we don't need ourselves to do all the talking. Our greatest need is to listen so that they can speak and reveal something of what they are to us. To pour out their heart in words. We speak and communicate with one another in words. That's how we know one another. Either spoken words on the face-to-face or on the telephone, or written words in a letter. That's how we know one another. If I kept my mouth shut and just stood here in the pulpit, you would never know me, except that I was rather an odd character. You could even come and measure me and weigh me and take a note of what I looked like. But you wouldn't know me unless I spoke words which come from my heart. God, too, deep in his being, has a word to say, to speak. John tells us that this word was with God and is God. Just as my mind and heart are with me and also are me. And God spoke a word, and it was done. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures," and it was so. God spoke his word from the depth of his heart. All around us, God is speaking from his heart. The stars, the sun, the majesty and wonder of life are the language of God to us all. And in them is Christ himself. We read in Psalm 19 earlier, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Verse 2, "Day after day they pour forth speech." And then verse 3, "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world." God has expressed himself in the glory and majesty of nature, and he wants us to hear, to listen. The universe which God created is not just an amazing machine. It is a beautiful work of art. It is a machine in the sense that it works by laws, but it is also beautiful, full of light. And the earth is teeming with life. From the depth of his heart, God has spoken his word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." But there's a problem. Verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Darkness has come. sin and evil, disease, tragedy, heartbreak and death, the polluting of this wonderful planet by our carelessness and greed has brought darkness. It's not just the devil, it's our fault as human beings as well, and that means your fault and my fault. In fact, the darkness is so dark that we don't always understand how near God is. And people live their lives as if there was no God, as if universes could create themselves. Or as if the one who did create the universe probably isn't interested in it. That's a very, very thick darkness. Because it stops us from being aware of that which is very near to us. You have to be in a very dark place before you can't see anything right in front of your eyes, and the reality of God presses upon us everywhere we go. It has to be a very thick darkness for us not to see it. And yet both the very educated and uneducated, both rich and poor, are in that darkness. So God sends his prophets to bear witness to the truth. He sent them to the people of ancient Israel. And that's what our Old Testament is about. And then he sent another one. In verse 6 and 7, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. That was John the Baptist. Who is he? Is he the very light and word of God? That's what the people asked. Verse 8 and 9, we read, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was a man sent from God. That was John the Baptist. And that's important. I believe that God sends someone to each one of us during our life to bear witness to his light, that we might believe and be saved. And I think that each one of us here this evening can think of that man or that woman was God's man sent to me. Not necessarily a preacher, but it may have been, or a family member, but it may have been, but someone was God's man sent to you and sent to me. God has sent someone to us. There was a man sent from God to each one of us to bear witness to the light. Now, not all of us want to listen to that message, to the witness of the person God has sent. But nevertheless, for each one of us, there is a man who was sent from God. Then we read verse 6 to 9 again. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. John was not that light. Nevertheless, the true light was about to come, coming right from the very heart of God. His very word, the very light of God, was about to come into the world. He was about to come right to us, to dwell in our midst. Down the centuries, that word of God had been drawing near to the people of Israel. He'd been drawing them near to him, as He spoke to them through the prophets and others. But because the people of Israel were a sinful people like everybody else, they rebelled against the word of God and didn't obey the word of God. Then, in the fullness of the time, that word of God came right into their midst and was born amongst them. A child was conceived in the womb of an Israelite woman whose name was Mary. And by that child, the very heart of God is related to us all. Verse 10 says, he was in the world. He actually lived and worked and walked in the world. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, taught the kingdom of God, rebuked the hypocrites, came face to face with us, but we, the people of the world, didn't recognize him. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Some people actually slandered him and said he was from the devil. Today others slander him in books and films that they make. Others are totally indifferent to him. Today many merely pass by. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This whole world belongs to him. The whole universe came to us through him. It belongs to him. But more particularly, the people of Israel were his. They were the people with whom he had been related down the years. But they rejected him and crucified him, handing him over to the Romans. And in some sense, all of us have refused him. Every time we've gone our own way. So he was alone in his sufferings. Yet he belongs to us. We show that every time we have a communion service. His body and blood are represented by bread and wine. Bread and wine are very much symbols of our own life. Signs that he belongs to us. But it wasn't the end of the story. As he died, he prayed, Father, forgive them. Now verse 12, yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That broken bread which we celebrate at communion symbolizes a broken world and his broken body, of which he became part. The poured out wine symbolizes a world needing the poured out power of God. But out of his death he rose and brought healing to mankind. And then he ascended, taking us back to the heart of God and giving us the Holy Spirit. Then verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who received him, you and I must consciously decide that we are going to receive him, just as he consciously made the decision to receive us. To those who received him and believed in his name, as the word of God is preached, we find that we are believing it, though we may not have done it first. We believe and receive him together. To us, by God's mercy, we're given to be the children of God, born into the family of God. But being children of God is not a human decision. It's not that we are pious people and say, well, let's call ourselves the children of God. It is God's will and word that makes us his children. So in verse 13 we read, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God, reminiscent of the birth of Christ. not a human decision between Joseph and Mary. He was born of the Virgin Mary. God, who from his heart created this world, God, who from his heart sent us someone to bear witness to his light, God, who from his own heart gave us his word to dwell among us, to suffer and die for us, is the God who in Jesus invites us to receive him, to believe in his name, and therefore be called by God himself his children forever. Let us pray. We worship you, O God, for your great love to us from the beginning of time until the present and into all eternity. We thank you for kindling in us a little flame of faith. May it grow and burn with inextinguishable blaze. And may we live in this world as your faithful children, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.